What's for dinner? What's for dinner? Talking about what's ever on their minds. Talking about what's ever on their minds.
Hello.
Oh, yeah. Coming to the stage next is Sapphire. I don't know.
Were you trying to be a strip club DJ?
Sort of. It sounded like it, that song.
Does it?
Yeah. Pole dance on your ass.
That would be the worst pole dancing song ever. And now welcome Sapphire dancing to the tune of a shitty podcast. What's for dinner?
No, that would actually be for like the men who are like, I don't need to necessarily envision you having sex with me. I want to envision you cooking for me. What's for dinner? What? It's like, I want a wife. That's why I'm here.
Yes, that's why every man goes to a strip club, is to see his wife dancing up there.
Well, no. She bends over and then she's like, I smell what's for dinner.
So you would think every guy wants like a stripper who emulates a wife, but really sexy.
Yeah. Well, she'll come over and she'll make you meatloaf with her vagina.
See, now I don't know if you mean like, ew. Either way, it's a disgusting proposition. It's like either A, she's taking things from her vagina to make meatloaf, or B, her meatloaf physically is cooking the meatloaf, and the woman's just kind of laying back like, my vagina's cooking dinner, baby.
I was going to say just the idea that it would be like a trough that would hold. Because, you know, meatloaf has like a certain pan. It's like a loaf pan. I'm sorry.
Welcome to What's for Dinner. I hope it's not meatloaf tonight because I never have taste for that again. Hey, guys. Welcome to the show. I'm sitting here with Allison. Yay. I'll tell you what happened, guys. I'll tell you exactly what happened because I'm honest with you. I've always been honest with my audience, with my friends, with those who are nice enough to constantly be coming back and listening to our show. A couple of days ago, I recorded an episode with my good friend and very funny comic, Brad Williams. I'm sure you know Brad Williams from Mind Dementia.
Such an awesome sweetie pants.
Yeah, he's a little person, a dwarf comedian, and very, very funny. And he actually, I actually worked with him this past weekend, too, at Flappers in Burbank. And we did this episode. It was great. It was funny. It was insightful. It was really a good time. And the whole time we're recording it, I hear the static in my headphone. And at first, I stopped the show and I said, "Do you hear that, Brad?" He's like, "No." And I listened back. And when I listened back, I didn't hear the static. So I said, "Okay, you know what? It's probably some interference just in my headphones, but it's not being recorded." Well, turns out it was recorded. The episode. I tried listening to it, and I even thought about going, well, maybe I'll just upload it and say, hey, guys, this episode's got some technical difficulty. But you know what? It was way, way too much. It was like there was like 3 minutes of static going over our conversation, and then it would be quiet for another 2 or 3 minutes, and then more static. And I wouldn't want to listen to that, and I don't want to put that out. As much as I may have put out some less-than-perfect episodes in the past, this one I would be too embarrassed to put out. So, Allison, right here, just got back home last night from her first ever headlining weekend in Arizona. So I said, you know what? This isn't Brad Williams. Honey, you're no Brad Williams.
I know.
You know that.
I'm trying to be.
Well, you should get on your knees.
You took it out of my mouth.
No, that's why I put it in your mouth is when you're on your knees.
This is what we do all day. That's all we do is we just make puns, terrible, terrible jokes.
I always feel like we're living in an 80s sitcom.
Aren't we? I thought that's what this was.
Honestly, like Allison and in my life, we really do make each other laugh so much.
All the time.
And sometimes they're the stupidest jokes. But and trust me, I say the bulk of them. But when I do, honestly, in my head, I kind of hear like an audience, like laugh track. It feels like our life is a sitcom.
Be like, oh, I burned the roast again. Are you talking about your pot or the food? Here comes the black guy.
Oh.
Exactly.
And then we hug and kiss.
Aww. Or we have like a really passionate one. It's like, woo!
Or when we're fucking, there's like, wah, 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 wah.
That's it. That's it. That's just the sound that happens in my head. I didn't realize you could hear that.
I can read your mind.
Oh, baby. We're so precious.
So I thought, okay, what could be fun is just to do another kind of guerrilla podcast. Just like not even sure what we're going to talk about, as like we ever do.
Never have a plan.
But we could start by talking about what it was like for you.
Oh my goodness.
Doing your first weekend as a headliner. Now this is a club. It's not like a improv or anything. It's a smaller room, but I played it before when it was on. We both did. But I mean I was headlining it before. And they called you, right?
Yes.
They didn't want me, right?
Well, let me specifically, I think the answer was, oh, we can't afford Flip. That'll make you feel good.
That
made me feel great. I was like, oh, I see. We can't afford. No. Honestly, as my very first time, this was awesome. This was an incredible experience. It was the room is a great room.
By the way, we just woke up too, so that might be why we are coughing and sounding a little.
Who are you kidding? It's because I'm smoking pot.
But all right, fine.
I just woke up, and I've been on this mission. Basically, me and my lovely, lovely companion this weekend, who is also my incredible feature act, should not be a feature act. She's a full-on headliner. We've had her on the show before,
yep.
Miss Susanna Lee, Lucky Deluxe. She was fabulous, but we are both imbibers of the marijuana, and on the road, we felt, well, this is a fucking road trip. We must be stoned constantly. So the wake and bake happened pretty much every single morning. What am I talking about? Absolutely every single morning.
I never do that.
It's weird because if you wake and bake, just a little side note, if you wake and bake and you've been smoking the entire night before, meaning like to the actual like falling asleep with a pipe in your hand motion, you will carry on everything that you had the night before into the next day. So let's say if I were to wake up after being crazy stoned the night before and I get like a full hour of taking in nothing, then I start fresh. Then whatever I smoke after that, I start fresh. It's like a brand new feeling. But if I smoke in that like first when there's still eye crusties in my face, like I'm just haven't even brushed the teeth yet, I literally could take one hit and be just as retarded as the night before. It's pretty cool.
Well, that is
pretty cool.
I can't wait for us to have kids. That is
good morning, honey. I'll make your Cheerios in a second.
As soon as mommy has a bowl of her own.
Exactly.
Okay, so continue.
It's a fabulous, fabulous room. It's new ownership from when we did it last time.
No,
you were going to say something?
Yeah, I was going to say, now, not so much about the room and everything. And you tell me about what the crowds were, and the crowds were what the crowds were.
I came on towards the end of their season, so it wasn't as
packed.
It was connected to a hotel, so you know you could definitely hear a lot of the hotel traffic come in.
But let me ask you this, okay? Because you've been doing comedy, you started just over 4 years ago, right?
Yeah, I'm kind of coming up on four and a half now.
Okay, you're already offered to headline a room, which is fantastic.
Man. Oh, my God.
Yeah. No, I remember when, like, one of my first times headlining, I was very nervous. I was like, oh, my God, can I do this amount of time? I think I had to do, like, for me, it was headlining at the time for this room, I think, was, like, 30 minutes, which I don't remember I'd ever done consistently.
Yeah.
For this, you said you did 40?
35 to 40, depending on the night. See, the thing was, is how normal shows, I think we've explained this before, normal kind of like out-of-town shows, when we say out-of-town, meaning like out of Los Angeles or New York.
Yes, tell me how it works, honey.
I'm not telling you, my lovely Lou.
Tell me how the comedy world works.
Baby Bear, it's not for you. I'm telling this to our lovely listeners because they might not know. You know, if you see a comedy show, you might not understand that it's kind of different animals depending on where you go. But most out-of-town places, it's a three-person show. You have a host. The host does 10 to 15 minutes. You have a feature act, which does 20 to 30, depending. And then you have a headliner that can do anywhere from 35 to an hour, depending on what the other people do. So,
right.
With that being the case, this particular club was kind of a showcase club too, which would mean that they had decided to put up a lot of their local guys before they put up the actual booked feature headliner. So we had roughly anywhere from five to six different people prior to Susanna Lee and I getting on stage.
Which is way too many.
I mean, you know what? I have nothing to complain about. It was small crowds and you know, great energy
from
them.
Which is exactly the reason why they should not have that many people going up before the main acts. It's if it's a small crowd, they're going to get tired and worn out very... comics also don't understand, and clubs, I don't think, really understand that there's pressure on the comedians to do well for the audience,
yeah.
But if it's a small audience, there's pressure on that audience to constantly be enjoying
themselves. Energy.
And
yeah,
the energy, because they're the show. And if I think you said there was one show where it was like a very small crowd.
I had one table that was the entire crowd.
And
a
table
of six.
How many people were on that show? Like before
there was there was at least four to maybe even five people that went up before. I think
see,
there was at least four.
Way too many
before
people.
Susanna Lee. And Susanna Lee was doing 20 to 25, and I was doing
way
30
too many.
To
it's
25.
Not fair to you guys, because those guys are just prolonging the show, taking the energy from that one table. You know, and
I think because it's kind of a newer room, they're really trying to establish a lot of love with the local guys, which is understandable. They want to get their friend, you know, people to bring people out to these shows and start a fan base. So
no, I understand the business end of it, but if they want people to keep coming back, they
can't run a show.
They can't run
long.
A show to death,
yeah,
like that. Yeah,
yeah.
But
it was no. You know what? I have really nothing to complain about, because it was a learning experience. Everything, you know me, I like to you know, chalk up an experience that might have not been the best. You know, most perfect of scenarios. You know, there was lots to learn from it.
Well,
yes, for sure. You know, I might need to, if, you know, continuing to get headlining gigs, if I see that a club is running things sort of like that, maybe just say, hey, is there any... I was real lenient. I was asked prior to delegate the time, and they had let me know that the first person going up the MC was only going to do 3 to 5, and that the next person was going to do like 7 to 8, and the next person was going to do like 10 to 12. So in my mind, I was like, oh, then there's only really, if they did their maximum, that I would only, there'd only be 27 minutes out of an hour and a half show, I'd be able to make up the rest of the time.
Right.
I think they each did 10, and this was...
See, and that's the other... Comics, have respect for your other comics and for the light.
I love them. I had a great time. Like, if they listen to this, I don't want anybody to think that I'm coming off complaining, but I will know for future that, you know, I can't stay in my sweet little naive seeming you know, set. And they yeah. all knew that this was my first time. So I think when I was like, yeah, let everybody do the time, their most of their time.
See, that's the thing. As a headliner, especially when, because like, and let me also say that when I go into wherever I'm working and they say, hey, we have some local guys who want to do some time, is that okay? I never say no, because I know what that's like.
Yeah. You want them to get up and have their time.
Yeah, and I know as a headliner, too, you also feel like, yes, give them all time. I am the good emperor. I am the good king.
Exactly.
I do not take time away from them, the
yeah.
local comedian.
Can they just each do 3? Thanks.
Yeah.
Me, you know, I don't want to do that.
But I also know that after a little while, you kind of see that, like, not, I don't want to say take advantage, but local guys will, you know, they'll assume they've got the time and kind of come in... Going, yeah, I'm going to be up there doing like blah, 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 blah. I'm to the point now, if it's like more than... Actually, I take that back. There's never going to be more than 2 guest spots in any show that I do. But if it's 2 and they're like, yeah, we're each going to do 10, I'm like, why don't you each do 5 to 7?
Yeah.
You know? And I still say do time, but this is still a professional show. And this
yeah,
is
we
still,
want them to not be exhausted, you know, by the time you get on stage.
Yeah, yeah.
You're the one who's paid to do the whole job.
Yeah, that's the other thing. It's like, this is my job. I'm getting paid to be here. I want to give the club and the audience a great show.
Yeah.
And the more time that you guys do, it's less time taken away from who the
booked
main act
to
is.
See. Yeah. I mean, I do have to say that each one of them was incredibly funny, because that's the other thing. A lot of times local guys get up, and it's one thing if they get up and they're really kind of much newer and they're just open miking treating it. You know, they're just testing new material and whatnot. And then they're dragging their 5 or 10 minutes on. And then you get 3 more guys who are doing the exact same thing. Then people are just hungry and dying for a laugh, but they're getting begrudged
yeah.
the fact that they haven't laughed yet.
That's the thing. If you get some shitty guys going up before you and they're not funny, people will leave.
And it's not even to say that these people don't have their right to be you know, learning and working on stuff. Obviously, if you're brand new at anything, you have every right to, but maybe go only to those shows or only do your new material when you know it's not a booked paid show. If somebody paid their money to walk in that door, you don't want them to sit there and think, I'm never going to spend money here again. Yeah. You want them to just be salivating and loving every moment of it.
That's why every town should have like an open mic night, just a night for amateurs or professionals to try new stuff. No pressure. If an audience is there, fine. Audiences don't pay to go there.
Yeah. Or a local bar, like set up.
Well, that's what I'm, like, I mean, open mic anywhere. Not even at a club, at a bar.
Exactly.
I used to do an open mic out here. I should say used to. I did it once, but when I first moved out here, it was at Lucy's Laundromat, and I think it was Hollywood, and they had
wherever people are, you know.
I'll never forget this. It was a laundromat like you would see, and they set up a microphone in front of the dryers, and they had like a couple rows of chairs, and the only people listening were the comics. And whoever they might have brought, like a girlfriend or a boyfriend or a friend.
That's how it always is.
And then, like, people doing their laundry might try to listen, but half of them didn't speak English. And then I remember there was a guy who just, like, I think he was some drugged out tweaker sitting in one of the chairs, literally pissed himself.
Oh, my God.
And then the cops came.
Oh, and I think did they listen?
No, they took him out. I think he was
damn
like.
Damn it.
Yeah.
I was like, you brought more people and they fucking wouldn't watch.
See, back then, I wasn't even, like, this was probably right when I moved out here, so around 2001 or so, maybe 2002, and I was still very nervous about being in L.A. and didn't know what material would work and didn't really have my L.A. legs and wasn't really as confident a comedian that I really am now.
Yeah, yeah.
So when they came in, I was just like, I don't know what to say. I will just continue to do my material.
Exactly. Oh, you know, and that's one thing, man, it felt really good. Like, I've done the 35-ish minutes, like pushing a little bit towards the 40. I've done that around just in the outskirts of town. You know, there's places within an hour from here where you'll have almost a regular setup show. And I've been able to do that, and I've done really well. But because it was new to me, I was also not trying to break from the things that I knew. Because I kind of knew that I had the leeway to really play here. I was playing and I was talking to the crowd a little bit, like really having like some moments and some crowd work. I felt like it grew me up a smidge. Like I was a little bit of a grown up.
That's what it should do. Like every time you're on stage, you should be learning something.
Yeah.
Either good absolutely. Things or bad things.
Oh, yeah. I learn every time. But this was like, I finally felt a little bit more. I might have said this on the podcast before. Only over the last year have I truly felt even slightly more like I could call myself a comic. Because as I mentioned before, how I sort of got into stand-up comedy, I was just a musician, played with musician friends, and we're all silly. We're all very silly people. Flip's now met most of my friends. We're all freaking nutballs. So the idea that we played music and we were nutballs, we just put the two together. Now
you played nutty music.
That was basically it. I mean, you should hear a friend, one of my best friends back home, Rich, and I. We used to write actual original songs, but they would always have this like silly twist to it. I don't know. One day I might play with those and try to make them.
Well,
into
I've
something.
Always said you need to do some original songs.
Yeah, well, I want to. I'm going to start to try to put some information into
well,
that.
Well, honey, I'm very proud of you for doing your headlining weekend.
You're like, can you just stop rambling over here?
What?
I'm like rambling, and you're like, okay, let me steer this boat. Yeah.
I'm steering. I'm back on the rudder.
All right.
I'm this rudder fucker.
Well, all I was gonna say was that I finally felt like I could call myself a comic because that was the whole culmination of the story. You interrupted my story. My story was saying.
Sorry, when you got tangent on nutty songs with my friend.
No, because that was how it happened. Then I just played for a friend, and the friend was like, "Go on stage with it."
Well, no,
I didn't go, ooh, I want to be a stand-up. I want to learn the arts of stand-up. And I've been learning the art of stand-up over the last few years. And maybe a year ago, I thought I could go, oh, I'm understanding a little bit more of the freedom that I have and the things I can say. And once I have them rolling with me, I can kind of try something even brand new or like off the cuff that you do that a lot. You know, something you thought of in the moment. You're like, well, they're with me. Let's just fucking try this.
Yeah.
And it might work, might not. Yeah. But
well, that's good. That's what you should be doing that. It's all about taking chances, you know, and growing. That's a great. I've always said it, the great thing about comedy is you're never done.
And did you realize that I did 2 shows a night? That's for our brother out there.
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
Nope, very proud of you. Yes, thanks. I think you could start calling yourself a comedian now.
I'm a comedian, Marianne.
And do you want to mention the other big news?
I'm not even sure. I gotta like talk with them about like what I'm allowed
Allison
to say.
Allison did a porno, everybody.
Yeah, it happened.
She did finally did a porno.
No, I just want to know like when, because certain things, when you find out certain things, you're not supposed to tell what's going on until it happens. But I think because this
I think
is,
you could tell. Yeah, you're getting your money. You signed the contract. It's out there.
Okay.
And it's not, let's be honest, it's not like they are going to listen to this podcast and go, wait a second.
I don't know.
Wait, oh, please.
Well, okay, whatever. But, all right. I am going to be, it's official, I've already signed it. And they've already used my work, am going to be in a new 20th Century Fox animated movie called Epic that comes out May 24th. If you've already seen, there's already been trailers out, not on necessarily TV because I think we're still a little too far out for it, but movie theaters had it. It's been online. It's a big, it's like a CGI crazy 3D animated thing, and I am like a little flower creature. I'm like a, they call me flower kid. Which is perfect because I'm like a hippie deep down, so I'm like flower child.
But you are the voice of a little character.
I have like
in
2 lines.
In a big animated
It's got huge people. It's like got Colin Farrell and Beyonce and Amanda Seyfried and Josh Hutcherson and Christoph Waltz and Steven Tyler, just to name a few. It's crazy. Can I just tell the world how nutsy pants though?
Yes,
this
tell all 8 of the world that listen to this.
Let's not kid ourselves. All 5 of you out there. No, I'm kidding. I love you. okay. I'm going to just tell, and let me just tell it the way I want to tell it.
Oh, God.
No, let me, come on. They need to know that this is involving magic, too. You guys all know, if you've listened to the podcast consistently, that I am a nutty nut pants.
I'm
going to
go make breakfast while you
Stop
tell the story.
Stop it. No, stay and talk with me. Okay, so. No, we're gonna talk. I want. No, I'm gonna do this quick. You ready? Time me. Look at the time on the thing.
Okay.
So, you all know that I've in the past I'm really into energies and really into magic.
Wait, do you hear that?
Oh, I hear the static.
What the? Where? Okay.
Pause.
Hold on, guys. We're gonna pause for a second. All right, we're back.
Can you hear us?
We hear. We got levels.
I was like one of them to respond.
Well, I think I figured out why the static happened on the Brad episode.
So now I'd be aware of that.
I am aware of that.
Okay, so I know I talk a lot about, you know, magical, like, energies. You think certain things and certain things come to be. Well, I must tell you about a really, really cool story that led to this. I swear it led to this. I have been a huge Simpsons fan my whole life. Huge. I mean, since it came out in 89, I think I've seen every episode of Usage of Trivia. I have every freaking, DVD set. Okay, so of course, obviously, to meet anybody would just be the culmination of my entire life. Well, I am very lucky to have a very good friend who actually is one of Flip's best friends. Dave used to work at 20th Century Fox, and he is still friends with people that work at 20th Century Fox, and one of them in particular who works directly on The Simpsons. He got me for a birthday last year in 2011, got me the ability. Oh, Flip's making his sleeping face. Okay, I'll pick it up. I'll pick it up. I gotta be fast. Don't be mean. He's being mean. Nobody could see this, and I'm just whining. Okay, so
I'm listening. I don't know what you're talking about.
I know, but you're making a sleep face like you're snoring. Stop.
I am not.
He's
stop
so
making
mean to
up.
Me. Okay. Anyways, anyway, I got the ability to sit in on what they call a table read, which means that all of the characters that are going to be in that week, including the guest star and the producers, they're all going to be sitting in a room with the scripts reading this. You're distracting me now. Stop it. He's seriously making like snory sounds from across the room. Nobody can hear it because he's not in the mic. What a meanie meaner tin you are.
Honey.
Baby.
Continue with your story.
If it was a regular guest, the regular guest could ramble on about their awesomeness in their life and you wouldn't
notice
make faces.
Notice you did say ramble on.
Well, because I need them to know how intense this was. This was amazing. And you just pooped on my orgasm here.
I pooped on your orgasm?
I was orgasming and telling them about The Simpsons, and you were just... pooped you took on a your big orgasm. Snore poop. You snore pooped.
I snore pooped?
Okay. No more faces.
Let I'm sorry. I won't try to shit on your orgasm anymore, honey.
Yeah. Poop. So, okay. I got to sit in and actually watch them, and I'm fucking salivating. I mean, Matt Groening's in the room. It's fucking the voice of Bart, Nancy Cartwright. It's Homer, Dan Castellaneta. It was amazing. I mean, like, yes, I know them all. I'm freaking out. I didn't even realize this, but I'm putting so much love out into the universe towards these voiceover characters that one fucking year to the day later, on my 30th birthday, which was, oh, I shouldn't have revealed how old I am. On my 18th birthday, I got an email from a friend of ours that works at the Improv who asked if he would give my number to 20th Century Fox for audition purposes. What? It's like, please don't do such a thing.
No, I would hate that.
That would be the worst thing
totally
ever.
I totally hate that.
Excuse me. So, oh my God. So I said, of course, please. He gives the number. I get a call that same day on the birthday. Oh my God. 1 year after I was on the studio lot asking if I could come in the next day to audition for this movie called Epic. Now, I hadn't heard of it before, but just, I mean, in the name alone, holy crap, Epic. So I go, which I'd like to also mention was a day we were flying out of town. We were flying out that night. I scooted in a few hours beforehand to do this. So almost in my mind, when I was asked to do it the next day, I almost said no, because I was like, I have to travel. It's going to be crazy. And then I realized I'd be a retard for doing that. So, yeah, I ended up going, and people that I was with, some pretty like nice comics that I freaking know that are chunky. Like that's what they do for a living. When I say chunky, I mean like,
you better explain yourself, because any comics over there are going to go,
I'm not chunky. What are you talking about?
I'm not fat, nor a soup.
What I mean is that they're the kind of comics that you can like seek. Like I look at as like a meat and potatoes comic. They are. That's what they do. That's all that they do. Like, to me, it's like, oh, they are the meal. Like, that's all that they do. I don't know, chunky, I'm meaning it in more like the sense, like, I can sink my teeth into them. They are not like a one night.
They're not an hors d'oeuvre open mic.
No.
They're a full course.
They're people
meal,
I've seen on TV. They're people that I know for a fact make their entire living off of comedy. Like, these are the people I emulate to live up to. So the idea that I was even sitting in the room with these people, I was like, oh my God, I've arrived to a certain degree. I didn't even need to get the audition. I didn't even need to get the role. I just was happy to be there. But I would like to also say that, of course, if you're a busy comic and a busy person on TV, you might have a lot of stuff to do, and a few of them had made mention that they were not going to be able to wait too long, and that they were going to maybe need to be scooted in faster. The reason why I'm bringing this up, oh, okay, Flip, Jesus, you know how to make me feel bad about this. He's making now a jerk. I'm telling them what you're doing to me.
I'm not doing
He's
anything.
Making a jerk off motion, like as if I'm taking
no,
way too long.
Honey, I was saying, when you're done with this,
can you jerk me off? You're such an asshole. You know what? This is my life, and I'm excited about it. Maybe I want to explain it to your one fan.
How did we go from 8 to 5 to 1?
Well, you just jerked him right out of here. That's what happened. No, but my point is that I didn't complain at all. A lot of other people just, and now they weren't complaining. They just said, hey, I don't have the time to wait. I need to be scooted in faster. I was approaching flight time, but I was waiting like in maybe an hour, you know, an hour and a half. That's just totally fine and typical. I wasn't complaining at all. I was enjoying myself. I don't know if that like made the universe love the situation even more, but when I went in, oh, bless you. Oh, now he's sneezing. As many distractions as possible. I'm kidding. I love you.
Sneezing on purpose, exactly.
I'm sorry, baby. I love you. He's got allergies, yeah. So I was going to say, the idea, I didn't complain, I didn't do anything. When they brought me into the room to do the recording, which that's the other cool thing, when you're doing a voiceover audition, they record the entire audition to use as the actual material that you do, because if maybe they liked your inflection and they asked you to come back, they're not going to... I'm explaining it fully... all right, fine, forget it. So I'm sorry, got the role in the movie. I know you're very excited, honey.
It's just these are like so many minute, mundane details that I don't think people...
Maybe people who aren't part of this world and this life don't consider it mundane, though. Maybe they're like, explain to me what an audition is like. I don't know what an audition is like. I'm at home getting ready to go wait tables. I don't know, babe. You don't have to be mean about it. It's because it's me. If it was anybody else,
you know what? You're probably right. It's just I've heard this story so many times.
Cool, that's fucking you. This is the first time they're hearing it.
Stop it.
You're making me really sad now. I'm just trying to tell this story. This is my story. This is the exact way that it happened. And maybe to you it's boring because you've heard it a few different fucking million times. But nobody else has. See, now you get to hear like the real like husband and wife fucking bicker shit. Oh, I love you. Please.
That should be our last name, bicker shit.
Yeah, you should be bicker shit. You're a poopy pants, McGee. That's his last name, Poopy Pants McGee. All right, I'm coming to the end of the story. Can I just finish it the way I want to?
Okay.
Thanks. So I come in, and the whole point is that the casting director, who's a big name casting director, I didn't even know this. I looked it up on IMDb afterwards. He's huge. But anyway, when I come in, he's like, I am so sorry to keep you waiting so long. And maybe, I don't know, I wasn't in there, but maybe other people were like, oh, it's all right, but kind of like showed that they were a little perturbed. I was completely the opposite. Even though, yeah, I was kind of a little nervous about the plane flight, they didn't need to know that. They didn't fucking need to know that I was nervous, that I was going on a plane. It's not their problem. So I basically just was like, oh no, I'm having a blast. Let's do this. So I did the voiceover and, they recorded the whole thing, unbelievable, and there even came a point when the casting director made a face of, like, total wow, like that's the voice that we're looking for, kind of, I don't know, kind of look towards his recording.
Do you remember what the voice was that you did?
I don't remember exactly what it was at that moment.
Do you remember if you put anything on, or were you just being you?
I was just being me. It's funny that you say that. There was three different characters to read. One of them was a bitchy character. One of them was a neurotic character. One of them was comedic. Okay. I didn't think that I was going to have to choose. But when I came in, the guy says, who do you resonate with more? Who do you see more eye to eye with? And I, you know, just thought as quickly as possible. I thought, well, you know, I'm not a very bitchy person. You know, I've been able to be one, but I don't like it. I know I'm not normal to that. So, maybe not bitchy, but I'm a comic, so comedic, and I'm a woman, so duh, I'm neurotic. So I read the neurotic and the comedic one, and I was just being as neurotic as I am and comedic as I am. So I was kind of myself, but wherever he needed me to be heightened or whatnot, and he kind of had to explain the character or the moment, because you're just reading this on a piece of paper. You don't know what the moment is. You don't know who's around you. And we'd only been shown a trailer of the movie to kind of get the mood of the movie, but and seen a drawing of our character. It wasn't animated yet. That's the even crazier thing. Somewhere, somebody is animating a cartoon around my voice right now. But, God, I can't believe it. So the idea that I even got a face out of this guy that was an approval of like, wow, that sort of sounds like what we want. In my mind, I went, ooh, that alone was the win. That alone was like, even if I don't get this role, it made me think that he enjoyed the cartooniness of my voice to a certain degree. Right. So I was way too excited. And when I left, they gave me the idea that I was probably going to hear about the answer before the holidays. Okay, all right. I'm one of his most boring guests by his face. So I left. I didn't hear about the holidays, and I didn't think anything of it. 2 months later, which was 2 weeks ago, I got a call, and he said he's from the movie, and I pooped my pants. And then he said,
"You got a thing with poop. We got to talk about that."
I was just explaining that I was incredibly excited. I get the call. God, you know how to just shit right on.
Poop again.
Well, the term of what you're doing is shitting on my parade.
No, it's raining on your parade. If I shit on your parade, one, that would be a lot of food I'd eat.
Have you ever not seen... I mean, have you ever seen a parade? They have horses. There's shit all over that parade.
No, that's shitting on the street. That's shitting in the parade, not on the parade.
Okay, the whole culmination was I got the call. I screamed and jumped up and down. And now he already told me that the work was done. I got paid for the day, which also crazy for the universe. My air conditioning broke in my car. Right before I was going to go to this headlining gig in Phoenix, Arizona, which is the hottest place on the planet. Luckily enough, it wasn't this week. It was beautiful weather. But I had needed an air conditioning. I was driving another comic there, and it was kaput. And it was one of the kind of kaput that needed a lot. It needed a nice chunk of change, and I didn't have that chunk of change. So I said, Universe, I need this chunk of change within this next 2 weeks because I'm going to Arizona. And I get this fucking call out of the blue, like the next day, right after I said I need the chunk of change, Universe, I get this fucking call, and he says, we're going to pay you for work you did where you just thought it was payment alone for being there.
And that just goes to show that everything comes together when you have a great attitude like you do.
Oh, Mickey. It was just...
See what I did there? She was pissed at me, and I say one nice thing, and she's back in my good graces.
Yeah, but, I mean, think about that. I go to The Simpsons. I'm telling them that I love them. The voiceover actor is so exciting.
Look,
then I'm there 1 year later, the same lot, walking past the same buildings that I was just excited to see in the first place to watch my idols. And then I'm fucking there to do my own voiceover for a cartoon. Then I say, hey, Universe, I need money. And I didn't think that I got the role, and I totally was okay with that. I mean, it's the first big audition I'd ever done. I was with people, like I said, who I emulate to be, and the and you know, fuck, that was just a great experience on its own. It didn't even need to get it in my eyes. But I said to the universe that oh my god, and just it happened. And now you can see it May 24th. It comes out in the theaters, and I'm the flower kid. I'm like a little bug creature.
By the way, if I was timing that story, you're at about 15 minutes now.
Excuse me.
Maybe my interruptions took up 1.5 minutes.
No. Your physical interruption.
No.
But then, wait. Excuse me.
5 minutes?
Excuse me.
No.
Excuse me.
What?
McGee.
What?
If you had not interrupted me and would not have made me continue to think, okay, where was I at again now after you interrupted me and after I complained, I think that the coupling of all of those scenarios and making me have to go, okay, where was I, all of that's 5 minutes.
2 minutes.
Five.
We will listen back to this. Anybody listening
faster.
Who actually cares about this argument that my wife and I are having?
Why do you have to argue with me about this? This is such a silly thing. Why couldn't you have just not made faces? Wouldn't that have been the nicer thing to do? Wouldn't that have just been the nicer? I swear to God, if I was Brad Williams here telling you about fucking... Yeah, first
look,
of all...
Okay, honey, look. If we're gonna start airing our laundry right now, let's just call a spade a spade. You tell very long-winded stories.
I'm sorry, but I have heard plenty of our guests on here be detailed about their life and their situation, and I watch you not even be able to get a word in edgewise for 10 minutes. So stop. That's not fair to me. And I listen to our guests with love and compassion, and I never go, and you don't either, because they're not somebody that you see all the time.
Well, also, I've heard the story a billion times.
But that's never been heard by our audience, and that's the thing.
But you do tell long-winded stories.
It would have been, but you know what? Maybe to you it's long-winded, but maybe to other people they go, you know what? It's pretty cool. Instead of just going, yeah, I got this movie, da 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 da, then they go, you know what? Maybe she willed that fucking movie to happen, and in that case, maybe I can will my own life to be good things. All I said was fucking the universe, I need money, the check is in the mail, I can feel it, and then bam, a situation happened. I was watching The Simpsons and going, God damn it, I love this life. Not going, oh, God damn it, I wish I could be this. Why me and why not me? Why them and not me? That's not the right attitude. Instead, I was just like, I fucking idolize what you do, and I love you, and I appreciate you as humans. And that reflected back on me. That became my reality. And that's what I'm maybe trying to say. And instead of you being a poopy narf butt, then you would have...
Whoa, narf butt?
I don't know.
Okay, no. You don't cross the line like that, honey. You know...
You didn't have
you
to be
know
a
my
McGee.
Grandfather was killed by a narf butt back in Vietnam.
I apologize for the narf butt reference, but
the
I needed to go
there. Narf butts are a real problem, honey.
I needed to go there. You needed to hear it.
Oh, my God. I cannot believe you pulled out the narf butt card.
So, my point being, you didn't have to be a McGee and poop on my parade.
Oh, now I'm a McGee? I'm a narf butt and a McGee?
I don't appreciate it.
You're a cruel, cruel woman, honey.
I don't appreciate it. You're a cruel man.
You
to everybody out
did
there.
Did I ever call you a narf butt in my life?
Hey, I'm going to ask our audience.
Yes, audience that we can interact with.
If you, no, I don't want to know. I'm not going to pose like that. I'm going to be like, if you enjoyed my ramblings, let us know.
No, honey. I mean, in all seriousness, yes, you, it's an amazing story, and I'm very, very, very proud of you and very happy for you.
And the bullet points would have been too boring. Hey, I went to The Simpsons, then I got this thing, then I fucking jumped up and down the
No,
end.
It might have been fun.
Oh, I'm going to kill him. She is I'm going to kill him. To everybody right here. Dagger eyes. God, man.
Daggerfish.
You know what he says to me this morning? He goes, oh, babe, I totally want to interview you. I want to interview you, but everything that's going on with you. Little did I know that there was a stipulation to that interview. Be like, interview, but you got 2 fucking minutes to answer, bitch.
It's not 2 fucking minutes. Look, okay. Folks, to the ones that are listening, they've already stopped listening.
Well, they're like,
maybe after
this.
The half-hour story of going to the
it
Simpsons lot.
A half hour.
I love you.
So mean.
No, this is. I was gonna say, this is our marriage. This is like real husband and wife shit right now that you are listening to. This is you. Okay.
He does this to me all the time.
Well, okay, here's the thing, all right? And to anybody out there who's in a long-term relationship, whether it's a marriage or dating or whatever, things that the partner does after a little while starts
to become out of him.
Annoying. And I trust me, I know I have those things about me that annoy you.
Oh, my God. You know what I love is when we see tons and tons of different people and he repeats the same story over and over again. And you know what I always do?
But you know, my stories aren't long. I know how to get to the meat of the stories. I know the attention span of most people is not that long.
Okay, let me also bring up something else. You are a man. A man is so concerned with just the physical, and he's a quick, unemotional creature.
What?
That's the truth about all men and people. Women and men know that. Women and men know that. Okay?
You're saying I'm unemotional?
No. Well, you're the amalgamation. You're the enigma. Because
what did you
you're
call
half
me?
A fag.
You call me an African American and homosexual?
Yeah, you're an Africa sexual. What is it? Oh, you want the spray? Yeah.
But you're saying I'm kind of an emotional person?
You're a little bit, but no, you're a man, so which makes it that you're like, ugh, blah, blah, blah. And this is how it always is. And remember, this is the thing you're supposed to learn about women. A woman comes from the emotional side of things. So if you were to go, how's your day to a man? You'd be like, oh, it's good. I watched a ball game. The end. To a woman, would be like, oh, I got to tell you, today was just amazing. When I woke up, I felt a renewed sense of life. I made a piece of toast. But then after the toast, I realized that it was time to call an old friend. Because it's important to keep old friends in our life. I mean, we're in a mode to know what's gone on so that you can understand the deep
but
emotion of
it. But
maybe
we don't want to know.
That's just men. I guarantee our women listeners are like, preach on, sister. You just go. You just tell us all about your day. We have a lot. We have a lot.
Well, then you know what?
Lady listeners, I'm sure.
First of all, I know we have some lady listeners. Hello, ladies. But I think even the lady listeners, after about the 37-minute mark...
They've never heard the story. Oh, my God.
And then I went to the Simpsons lot. It was a really nice day. There was a maybe
I didn't
partly
say anything
chance,
like that.
70% partly chance of rain that day.
Said nothing
and
like
I,
that.
And I parked in parking lot A space C1. And I took 18 steps to the elevator. And I hit down.
I didn't say any of these things.
I'm just saying, you are very detailed.
Because the things that happen are with importance and love and amazingness in the universe. Dude, first of all, I told one person. It was like a comic, too. Actually, no. There was another person there that wasn't a comic. I just happened to mention that I did a Simpsons table read, and I did it very quickly, like as if it didn't matter. And they stopped me in my tracks and were like, wait, you did a what now? Holy shit. They were so impressed and excited. They were like, they wanted to hear about it. They wanted to know what that meant. What does a table read mean? When you do a table read, it's a preemptive practice, basically, prior to recording.
You already mentioned that in your story. You're repeating yourself not 5 minutes later.
All I say is that it's a practice, but I don't think that people realize that the episode has not even been created yet. It's just a script. I didn't say that. The script is only read together so you can get an idea. Then you go in the recording studio and then record it, and then an animator animates the characters around you. I watched something that didn't air for 8 months. They practiced, and then it aired 8 months later because they had to fucking work on it. Maybe people in the real world... don't realize that, like
in the
when
real
you're
world.
Well, because this is La La Land. When you're in LA and you live in LA, you kind of understand these things because you have a lot of friends who work in the industry. This is an industry-driven town, so whether or not they're actual actors on the show, they might be, you know, a fucking key grip, you know, in movies or they
what's
might be
a key grip, honey?
I think they have to do with the camera and the rolling of it. I don't know.
Is that your final answer?
I think so. I don't know. You read it on the back of the you see it on the credits. It says key grip.
You also see best boy. And
the best boy has to do with the lighting? I don't know.
Is that your
final answer? Or the sound? It's either the lighting or the sound. It's one of the two.
What's a Foley engineer?
The guy who works with Dave Foley from Kids in the Hall. He made him. He engineered that man. He created him. I don't know, baby. Forget it. Just my point was is that the end, and here I am at the end of my story. Don't. It was such an exciting thing that I was so in love with, and I was so excited to tell, you know, my interviewer here as an actor and comedian all about the wonderful things in my life. And now I've been made to be on the defensive. But it was definitely glorious experiences all the way around.
Sorry.
What are they doing? The kitten's trying to eat something?
She's trying to open my printer. Maybe. She literally has opened my printer. Are you happy, Birdie?
Adorable.
Bitch.
All right, so go ahead, interviewer. Ask me what you want to ask me, and I'll answer it in as few words as possible.
Why do you talk so much?
I don't know. Fewest words possible. I don't think any woman really knows. We just do. We want to. We're emotional.
Why? What does that need? Is it because you like hearing yourself talk?
No.
Or is it because you think that every little detail matters that much and that people will not be satisfied with your story unless you are that specific?
I think because the way that I view my story, I feel that these points need to be shared. Why? Because it's to me, something that makes the story. If I were to say, yeah, I got on this show, Epic. That's boring. Okay, but if I say, hey, I willed fucking Epic to be, I believe that. I was on The Simpsons lot loving voiceovers, and little did I know a year later I'd be my own voiceover. That fucking never even crossed my mind. How would that have been handed to me had I not put out but good energy and thought about how I idolize these people?
And it all comes back to you.
I used to watch the dance show, So You Think You Dance. Used to, what am I kidding? I watch it every fucking season.
Yes, you've got me into that, which makes me
He's such a half a fag. My baby bear is a half a fag. Luckily, it's not the half that
which
puts
his penis in me.
Which is
also the best country song title ever. My baby is a half a fag. Yeah. I don't mind because he gives me porno mag.
Let's leave the songwriting to this one here.
All right, fine.
I'm kidding, baby. No, but those things were I felt were conducive to a nice story. My point is for everybody, will your reality, don't negate your reality. If you for one second do not believe that you could do any of the things that you wish to do, then guess what's going
to
happen? And you won't.
Do.
But if you just love the universe, love everybody around you, give a lot of happiness. You know what's kind of crazy? I have this one good deed a day book. Actually, Flip bought it for me as a present. And it's just each day, it's like a 365-page journal with things that you can do each day that are good deeds. And then you like, you know, write down when you've completed them and write a couple notes on to reflect on them. Would you believe I look through each page of that and I swear to you in my daily life, every day I do at least 50 of them. I mean, I read them and they were just so simplistically good deeds.
Give me an example of a...
Like holding the door open for somebody or paying for coffee of the person behind you. Just randomly. Just randomly in the line. Just pay for the person. Now, I haven't paid for the person's coffee, but, you know, somebody needs change. Reach into your own pocket and get out the change.
Oh, yeah.
But,
I,
like,
I,
all
I don't know
these
why
little
people
things.
Wouldn't do that naturally. Like, there is so much... And you know what? I think it's true. There's a selfishness to being good too, because
it feels good.
Like I always hold the door open if I see it. If I see somebody coming in or leaving when I'm leaving, it doesn't cost you a thing. It doesn't take more than 2 seconds. Smile while you do it.
See, like, to me, the door open is like the good manners. Like, you should do that anyway.
Yeah.
But another example of this was like, give a random person a compliment. And I do that constantly.
You really do.
I'll like see a woman walking down the street and I'll just be like, nice earrings. She'll be like, oh my God, thanks. She'll actually stop. You know, it says like, strike up a conversation in an elevator when you're in an elevator with somebody. I literally, you walk into an elevator and I see somebody, you give that 2 second pause to see if they're going to divert with their eyes or if they're going to put out their phone or whatever kind of thing they're going to do to try to avoid conversation with you. And I look at them and I go, how are you today? And it's with not just like, how you doing? Not like a, just like a passing kind of like, yeah, what's up? How you doing? It's like a, how are you today? Look you dead in the eyes. Respond to me. And they're usually so like caught off guard that they do almost like a double take and they kind of almost take a step back like, oh, and they go, oh, I'm great. How are you today?
Human interaction. I'm
what
not used
to this. What the fuck is this? Exactly.
How are you?
Amazing. 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 But there was a couple of these good deeds a day that just tickled my heart so much that I want to do them. One of them was leave money in a coat that's for sale. Like, ooh, go to a store and just leave like $5 in a coat that's going to be sold. And maybe it won't be sold at all. That's not even the point. That $5 will just stay there. It's just giving to the universe. You just like paid it forward for real. And then the other one that I totally fell in love with, I don't know if anybody in any city that they're in has seen in whatever their big downtown area is on like a given Saturday or Sunday, somebody holding up a sign that says free hugs. Mm-hmm. The free hugs campaign is brilliant. I would look up on YouTube free hugs campaign and look for the one that's got like the most millions of views.
You should do that. I think you would.
Oh, man. Well, I mean, a lot of people do it. Like, I just go down to our little downtown Hollywood and people do it.
What if we up it a little instead of free hugs?
No. This was what I was going to say. Let me just say this real quick. In the Good Deed a Day book, they had one that I think beat free hugs. And it just is a sign that you hold up that says you are perfect. That's it. You are perfect. I cried. I actually read it, sat with the thought for a second, and teared up because the idea, free hugs is brilliant and beautiful, and I would love to do that because I would just love to give everybody the opportunity to have human connection, interaction, and just hug each other, which I think is beautiful. But to not even have to force a person to get out of their comfort zone, but just let them know that they are great. Driver buys. Just hold up a sign in a street freaking corner that says you are perfect, period. Beautiful. Beautiful.
I like it.
I like a lot of these things.
Hey, you're perfect, baby.
Oh my God, you're perfect. All of you out there are perfect. You're perfect just the way you are. Every little fault that has happened with you in the past has been done and has happened to make you a stronger person. Seriously, you are perfect. Just don't negate yourself. Love yourself. Live your dreams. Believe in your dreams. Strive towards them. I feel like nobody should feel like they have to sit in a job that they hate because money is the most important thing to them and surviving with the money. You can either learn to survive.
Don't go changing.
Oh. Wow, we've upgraded in this podcast.
Yeah, how do you like that? Never let me down before.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. No, you keep talking. Ooh. This is the background music.
Oh, it's going to be the background music. I see. I thought we were supposed to listen to it.
No.
No, but really, just listen. I love you just the way you are.
Okay, I'll stop.
I really think that free hugs is important and you are perfect is important for everybody to have. But also, like I was saying, don't negate your dreams. I don't think that you should ever second guess yourself. Some people, yes, might have to struggle for your dreams, but don't think about the debt and the struggle and the things that you are not going to have while you are trying to go after your dreams. Instead, just think that abundance is always available to you. And no matter what, if you just believe in yourself, life will hand you shit. Like, I cannot stress that enough. Things have been handed to me that most people would go, oh, what good luck that she has. What good luck? Okay, good luck is luck if it happens to you maybe 3 times in your life. In your life where you've had something crazy happen. That's good luck. Or coincidence. If in 6 years I've had a constant bit of craziness. Oh, weird.
Oh, that's a Pink Floyd song, Money. Oh, okay. I thought that'd be appropriate.
It's true. Money is just abundance. So imagine abundance coming to you in all ways. And that's what happens. In 6 fucking years, I have had like 50 good luck things happen. I mean, and I'm not even joking. That's not even like an exaggeration. And they would be crazy enough to be considered good luck or coincidence. I'm sorry. 6 years, 50 things. It's even been more my whole life. I mean, as this has happened. And I'd like to think, I really would like to think that it is because I really love everybody around me. I put out a lot of fun and a lot of happiness. And I'm not saying that to try to be conceited or whatnot. That is like a goal every day, is to try to have as much fun and put out as much happiness in other people as possible. Bring out happiness.
And you're very good at that. You always bring out the best, and you always bring... I've seen Allison just bring a smile to a stranger's face. You, and you know, we've sucked each other's dicks too many times on this show. People know that I love you and you love me and you're wonderful.
I love you, Ringo.
But there's somebody else who loves you too, because now it's time for the Skippy Green Show.
Have we already talked for an hour? Skippy
Green. What's for dinner? What?
It's the Skippy Green Show.
Hello, you beautiful whore.
Oh, Skippy, you cunt monger.
Oh, my God. That's one of the reasons I'm jealous of Flip. Is it Chick who could say cunt monger and, and narf butt?
Narf butt. Oh, I've missed you, Skippy. I haven't talked to you in a long time.
Well, I've been busy. You know, I've been, places to go, people to eat.
Yeah, you never let me talk. It's always just get on my knees and suck. Yeah, shut the fuck up. Yeah.
So you know how this works.
I have no idea.
I'm going to ask you a question.
Oh.
You got to answer it in 10 words exactly.
What?
Not 11. Not 9. 10 words exactly.
I don't know.
Are you ready for this, Bobby Sokka?
I believe so. Who sucked, Bobby?
If you.
He's giving me the sore
look. Had your choice. Of blowing a guy in any kind of pasta. What kind of pasta would it be, and who's the guy? 10 words exactly.
Penne pasta, the whole let's come through. It'd be John Turturro. One word. John Turturro with a dash. Wait.
John Turturro is one word. It'd be John Turturro. You wasted all the time with the hole in the cum with the pasta. You don't even leave yourself the room for the who'd it be.
Penne pasta, hole for cum, John Turturro, because he's awesome.
Good enough.
I liked it.
John Turturro, really?
John Turturro makes me think of penne pasta.
Didn't make any sense when you reversed it either. Why John Turturro?
John, you don't have to answer the question in 10 words, you dumb twit.
John Turturro, because his big, gorgeous nose would fit penne pasta in it, and then I could come in his nose like you like to come in mine. I think that was 15 words.
That's a wonderful answer.
The mother of my future children.
Skippy
everybody.
Green, the fucking bastard of my future children.
Honey, I love you very much.
I love you, Mickey. Thanks. Has it really been an hour?
Yeah, pretty. It's been, we had to stop it because of that static, which we haven't heard since. I wish I figured that out with Brad. William, excuse me, Hiccup.
Brad Hiccup. We should have Brad back so that you could do
definitely,
that again.
Definitely.
And be like, can you just remember everything that you said last time, please?
If Brad is generous enough to come back to do this, because he is a...
I'll cook him real dinner.
Then I
Brad
will
Brad Williams, wherever you are, dinner.
Yes.
And what's for dinner.
Guys, thanks for listening to this very personal you and me... show. I think we just, because you know, it was next time
try not to make it seem like you're so terribly bored by my answers.
Well, I can't help it. I'm honest. I'm not a dick.
It's not that
your stories are boring per se. It's that I've heard them.
I'm gonna put
and
you
and that right now all I hear is you telling the story that I know and seeing the time tick on the counter and going, oh my God, this is just going on and on and on and on. And maybe people are enjoying it. And if you are, I apologize.
And now you see how dickish Flip Schultz really is.
I'm not dickish. I'm just Well, maybe a little dickish.
No, he's fucking dickish.
I'm not.
That was dickish today.
Was that dickish?
It was a little bit dickish.
Was it?
I mean, you could have just let your guest, you know, of the show.
But you're not my guest. You're my wife, and you're on the show all the time.
Yes, I understand. But you wanted to interview me today based on two bits of information. And the two bits of information, you made it seem like I was just absolutely the most boring person you've ever heard. When people on here have never heard
it. I was hoping that you'd...
speed it up?
Yeah.
A little?
Yeah.
Oh, well, you know what? These things were important to be said exactly the way they were said.
Well, okay, but can you... Okay, I'm asking you this now as your husband and partner, and I'm asking you on the air. We're on the air, honey. You realize that? This is going out. People are listening to this right now, I hope. That was such a Napoleon Dynamite thing.
That's the static.
Will you, from now on, not just on the show, but in life, try to be quicker with your stories?
No.
Well, then, prepare for me to always look bored.
What a dickish thing to say. What? Either speed it up a little, or I'm going to make you know.
Well, why should
you're
I have to compromise when you won't?
Because when you tell boring stories, darling, in front of other people, I don't make faces at you like, here we go again. Tell them about Breaking Wind and 30 Nights of Paranormal Activity with the Devil Inside the Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
Available on iTunes, Amazon, Best Buy, Target.
Yeah, nobody's bored hearing about that. I always let you say those things, and I'm just giving you the most lovey face because I love you, and these are the exciting things that you've done.
Now I'm a dick.
You are a dick, and I'm going to let everybody know that you're a dick.
I'm a dick.
People don't know me, that they're listening to this, and they're like, you know what? I want to kind of hear about how she got on Epic. I mean, remember, the reason why people listen to this is because they're interested to hear what we have to say, I would think. So I can't just be like, hey, I'm going to bullet point everything now for you guys because I'm kind of bored with myself. I'm in this movie. I saw The Simpsons. Yeah, he made a face and I thought I got the role. The end.
Perfect.
That was not.
Oh, my God, honey, that was perfect. You got everything in that story.
Nobody understood what I meant when I said The Simpsons.
You understand I was kidding when I said that.
Nobody understood what the movie was about.
Okay, honey, I will go.
To everybody out there, we love you for listening and thank you for putting up with our fight online. I mean, on screen.
It's not a fight.
Not a real fight.
This isn't a fight. This is just a discussion.
They'll know when it's a fight.
Yeah. Well, no, trust me, if this was a balls out fight, I don't know if I would have... uploaded it.
Like that last one where you fucking reamed me after the show. Reams.
I reamed you.
He doesn't ream me on the show. He reams me after the show.
How did I ream you after the show?
Oh yeah, that's happened many a time.
I don't ream you after the show.
Kind of a little bit.
No, I don't.
Oh yeah, sometimes you do.
Did I?
Because see, I don't understand sometimes that if somebody took a breath and I had like one little funny thing to say in between, that it was not right of me to do that. So I hear about it later. So as soon as we hang up here, as soon as we get off here, I'm going to hear, Allison, you didn't have to let the song, the story go for so long.
Why would I tell you that after the show? We've already discussed it literally on the air.
Because I'll hear about it again, I know.
No, you won't.
This is what husbands and wives do when they have a podcast. Everyone gets to hear our laundry.
That's a nice term, hearing the laundry. Well, if people want to hear your laundry, where can they see you, baby? As always.
They can see me ramble on more at dirtyguitargirl.com. They can also see me, or actually not see me, they can hear me in the movie Epic on May 24th.
May 24th.
In theaters all over the country.
Yes.
And also, if you are in the Los Angeles area and you would like to see, I will be at the... Thank you. See, this is any other person with me. Do you notice? I'm just going to try to give my credits as slowly as possible. I want to just watch him seethe. If you live in the LA area, you can see me. No, I'm kidding. You can see me at the Universal Bar and Grill on April 22nd. Also at the Green Frog in Highland out in San Bernardino County on April 24th.
Cool. And guys, you know my shtick, my pitch. Flipisfunny.com, Facebook.com/FlipSchultz, the podcast, whatsfordinnerpodcast.com. Also, you could now get Skippy Green's CD, Lick My Balls, on iTunes. That's right. It is available on iTunes as we speak. So go to iTunes, look up Skippy Green. You can download Lick My Balls. And my brand new, well, not brand new. It's been out for about a year, but my CD... my latest CD, Concierge, which has only been available at the live shows, is going to also be available on iTunes this week. So you can get the brand new CD too, my fifth CD.
That's awesome.
Pretty cool. Yeah.
Pretty.
And guys, thanks for listening, and we hope you enjoyed this little insight into our personal life and everything. What's for dinner? We love you guys. Thanks so much,
as always,
for listening, and we'll see you next week. Bye.
Talking about what's ever on their minds. Talking about what's ever on their minds.